Hey everybody, it's Brian. Before I did this Seahawks stuff full-time, I worked as a manager and senior leader, so I know how lonely it can be to try to find someone you trust to talk through people issues, org issues, process issues as you try to lead an organization. Ryan Cleveland of RyanCleveland.com is someone I trust to have those conversations with. He specializes in working with CEOs and business owners, and you can get a complimentary free discovery session to see if it's a good fit for you. Just go to RyanCleveland.com to sign up and start now.
Hey guys, hold on one second. We thought we were good with Jeff Simmons, but I'm gonna fix his mic here for a second. Hold this for a second, Jeff.
Shocking, I have technical difficulties.
Yeah, Jeff. Disaster. Tell them about your trip out here, dude.
Well, nothing ever comes easy for me when I'm with Brian, but...
Oh, don't blame me, man.
No. It's not your fault. It's more my fault. So I took a day of flight from Florida. I was in Fort Lauderdale with my family. And guess what? As I was 20 minutes away from landing, there was a fog warning. The whole Atlanta airport got shut down, and they diverted our plane to Savannah.
There we go.
For 3.5 hours. So I sat in a plane not knowing if I was gonna make the game, and what should have been an hour and a half flight took 6 hours. That's why I'm so sweaty.
So let me go double check here. Hold this for a second, Jeff. Let me make sure this is actually working. No video. They're saying no video. You keep talking. Let me see if I can fix it.
No video. Brian, the technical wizard, is working down there, and we're
black
trying to figure
screen.
This out. We just got back from the press conferences. We got to talk to a number of players. We talked to Cooper Kupp. We talked to JSN. We talked to Darnold. We talked to Amon Wari, Witherspoon, Coach McDonald. And yeah, it was really cool to be there. I got to ask some guys some questions. Brian got the first question in for the first press conference, and now we're up and running. Me and Brian are on the field.
All right, I'm going to see if I can help with what seems like laggy video. I think I'm all connected to the right places, so.
Should wear my hat.
I don't know, boys. Trying to see, everyone's saying it's laggy, the audio's good. You keep talking about the game. I'm gonna see if I can get anything done, and then we'll come back and finish.
So, I actually missed the first drive of the game. I was running in from the airport. If anyone knows the Atlanta airport, it is crazy, it's huge. And I didn't land in Atlanta after leaving Florida at 6:30 in the morning. You're supposed to land at 8:30. I didn't get here until 12:30 p.m. for a 1 o'clock Eastern game. So I had to run to the stadium. I missed the first drive. I was watching on my phone, and I made it in the press box. And first half was pretty rough. I think everyone agreed that, not on defense, on offense. And it was like 6-3, 6-6. And I was like, why did I spend 6 hours on a plane to watch a 6-6 game? And then the second half happened, and everything flipped around. And so it looks like, that looked like the Seahawks team I expect to see this week. I think they'd win by as much as they did, but that offense in the second half was just totally different.
All right, I'm gonna try one more thing, folks. We'll see if this helps. If it doesn't, don't know if that's any better. So. I just went to sell over Wi-Fi. Not usually the best idea, but let's just talk about the game. I think people say the audio is going all right. So Seahawks come out, they're down, 6-3, and then they have that drive at the end of the first half. I think you and I talked right before then that was a pretty big drive because that was going to be a chance to tie the game and then go and get the ball at the start of the second half,
yeah.
Score again. That's exactly what happened.
It's literally what we talked about in the press box. And we said, Sam needs to get something going. He needs some confidence. He looked shook in the first half. And there was a lot of murmurs on the Twitter feed, talking to people on text. They're like, is this guy cooked? Is he okay? It's been a couple games in a row. And then after that drive where he got comfortable, he made some key throws and got them in play. He looked like the Darnold from the first half of the year. And he looked as comfortable as ever in the second half of the game. So that drive at the end of the first half, it really feels like it kickstarted everything. And there were just some easy passes to Kupp and Shaheed and some good throws. And after that, Darnold started running a little more. The play action started working. And the whole offense just looked like as easy and as free as it looked in the first half of the year.
Yeah, I thought that the two throws that Darnold made, one to Shaheed in that drive, and then the throw to Barner, and then they get the field goal. And kudos to Jason Myers, you know, like, he's the guy that's been a butt of some of our jokes for those moments where it's like, okay, the team needs you. They're struggling a little bit. They need you to kind of cap off this thing. He misses those. And he's been nails a lot of this year, and he was nails today again. And I thought that was a pretty big deal that he was making those field goals. And then to have Rashid Shaheed, I mean, special teams in general, Jay Harbaugh in general, how big is this? I mean, special teams have been huge for this team all year.
Special teams was massive today. It wasn't just Shaheed. When things were kind of spiraling in the first half, Nick Imanwari blocks a kick. And he blocked the kick, kept them in the game. At that point, it felt like things were getting real bad, and it felt like one of those old Pete Carroll games where they just couldn't do anything. But the vibes of the team and the fan base, the people I was talking to, were really low at halftime. And then Shaheed comes out, runs the thing back, untouched, and the whole game just flipped from there, and they looked like the Seahawks we had been familiar with. And they looked dominant on both sides of the ball, and special teams was a huge deal today. They had a lot of, Myers hit all his kicks, they got the drive at the end of the first half, Imanwari block, Shaheed kick return. It was a huge deal with how they won today, and I thought Shaheed in person was impressive.
Right, we'll talk about that for a second. I think seeing him in person, why was that different for you?
His ability to get separation on those quick outs, and then when he got time, he just looked electric, and it might have been the indoor track here in Atlanta, and it might have been he's played in this field before, but his speed and what he can do to open things up, I saw his ability to get separation. And when I asked JSN about it after the game, he just had a huge smile talking about what it can do for him. But there was a couple third down plays. There was a 33-yard catch and just some plays on the quick outs. He looked so fast getting out there. It looked like a cheat code on their offense.
So there's a bunch of there that I got to react to. First of all, if you're just joining, you're like, why does the video suck? I don't know what to tell you, folks. The bandwidth is what it is in here. We're doing our best. So hopefully you can hear us. It sounds like the audio is coming through okay. I got to say, this is so fun, dude.
Oh, that's crazy, man.
When we started Real Hog Talk in 2017, to think that we're standing on a field after a 37-9 Seahawks victory to go to 10-3, the largest point differential other than the 2005 Seahawks after, you know, 13 games. It's been a journey, dude.
Dude, we've come a long way. Like, if you ever told me and you would be doing a live podcast from a game on the
amazing field,
when we were doing that show with like the bandwidth that kind of looks like this today, but
yeah, exactly.
To be in press conferences with you and just be sitting in the press box with you, just joking around and talking the whole game. We were sitting beside Walter Jones today.
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
That was like, crazy.
Jeff was so flustered from the airport mess that when he sat down, I was like, hey, look to your right. He's like, oh.
Did not think that was going to be it.
Dude, it was really special to get to watch the game with you. And it was funny at the end of the press conference when Pearson looked at you and what did he say?
Said I didn't blow it.
Good job, Simmons. You didn't blow it.
Yeah.
So Jeff has been hazed appropriately by the PR staff. And man, it was so cool to hear you asking questions of Cooper Kupp, you know, asking questions of the guys. And kind of felt like probably back on a bicycle at old times.
Yeah, it was surreal just seeing all these guys up close and certain reporters that are a little territorial. I thought the Seahawks beat was great, so it was crazy. I haven't covered a football game in almost 12 years, and yeah, it was just getting me back in there. I got a shout out to Greg Bell. Every time I was about to ask a question, Greg had the exact same question, and he kind of kicked me under my feet a couple. I think Brian took one of my questions.
Sorry, dude.
But
you got to be quick.
Yeah, but it was fun. I got Cooper Kupp to give me a little wry smile when I asked him if he was interfered in the end zone. He knew. Savvy move not to answer the question. Doesn't want to get a fine because of me. Thought Pearson might give me a glare from that, but he handled that very professionally. But yeah, man, this is surreal right now after spending 6 hours on a plane this morning, which should have been a 90-minute flight.
Well, and I mean, it is unbelievable that you could hear Sam Darnold kind of sounding disappointed, a little frustrated. They scored 30 points on offense. I mean, it wasn't just the kick return. I mean, that was a bonus 7. They scored 30 points on offense, and it still felt like, they're not quite clicking. But the second half, how many times did, before the pass was made, you or I say, oh, he's wide open.
Yeah.
Oh, he's wide open. So Clint Kubiak, I think we're talking about Sam Darnold struggling a little bit. I think Clint Kubiak's been kind of looking for some answers, and I thought he found him in the second half today.
Yeah, and I actually know this to Brian before they kind of took off, and this was not my best comment, but I said in the game, I'm like, it felt like from last week from Minnesota, some of the Rams stuff, and the first half today, it felt like Atlanta sniffed out all of their play actions. It felt like they had two guys in the backfield every time they tried one. And then the second half, I don't know specifically what Kubiak did, and Darnold gave him credit, McDonald gave him credit, but their play actions started getting wide open. And so I made a joke, I made a comment to Brian in the press box that their play actions stink today. And then after that, everyone hit. There were wide open touchdowns, but something changed there. They obviously had different looks, but that was the biggest adjustment. Those play actions, the drop back, and Sam just, when Sam runs the ball when he has openings, and he was so much more comfortable and loose, but that play action, that was the big difference to me. Guys were free all day.
Yeah, I think that that's a big comment as well as how many times this year and this game is like, just run the ball, Sam.
Yeah.
You don't need, like, you've got open space. On the third and one where he threw the interception, it's like, run the ball, man. And to see him in the second half, almost still like, oh wait, I can run this ball. And I thought that was a big part of a couple of drives.
It was huge. And like, I know a lot of people were screaming during the Rams game. He had chances to run some of those interceptions, and there's the jump pass and there's other things like that. And last week a bit as well. And then first half, there's an interception. I think Mike said he didn't think he would have got the first down. I kind of did, and I don't want to push back on that one, but there was chances to run. He was moving around the pocket really well, but kept holding on the ball too long. And then there was that touchdown near the end zone where he could have ran it in probably, and he did the jump pass to JSN for the touchdown. I'm still not sure what the right move was there, but he looks really good moving around the pocket. He just is not decisive enough to run. And like, you see what's happening with Jackson Dart, and maybe he's trying to overprotect himself. And you saw it happen to Daniel Jones today. Maybe I'm not clamoring for a quarterback to take more hits, but when he's running and he was decisive like he was in the second half, move the sticks, it helped the offense, and it just gave him a lot more chances to do play action, move it down the field.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought that he had some great throws. There was a throw, I think it was the second half, where he leveled it over one defender to JSN. I think it was JSN?
It was JSN on the right sideline.
That was a fantastic throw, and it was nice to see JSN get back in the production category. I mean, I know everyone's like, oh, is he going to get the record? Record's the record. I want him to be able to continue to be productive, and you add Rashid Shaheed today, and then Cooper Kupp also gets a touchdown. It felt like you're getting a little bit more weapons. Even AJ Barner had some catches today that were, you know, like, everyone was kind of involved.
And you see their vision with why they got Shaheed and why they wanted him today. Yeah. It was a great example. What his speed does to open up the rest of the offense, and that might have helped with the play action game, but JSN was getting wide open in this flat, the throw you referenced on the right side of the field. And I personally think they could have had another touchdown. There's the throw to Cooper Kupp in the end zone, where Terrell is super early. And Terrell basically body checked him. I was shocked that Kupp didn't even throw his hands up, didn't even react. Maybe he just knew they were going to win the game at this point. He didn't care. But from my angle, and I texted some guys who were watching the game, I'm like, he was really early on that. So that would have been first and goal from the one. So they could have had a lot more down the field, and the play action to Kupp in the flat. But again, you really see what the whole offense and all these complementary pieces, and Barner helps, and they haven't even, we don't know what's going to happen with Elijah Arroyo, but they have four or five guys now they can throw the ball to. And I thought he did a better job throwing the ball. There was a throw to Charbonnet that he dropped that was a really good throw. There's a throw to Walker. There was an opportunity there too. And they just were using everyone in the second half, and that's what made the offense so good.
For folks that are just joining, the video is probably really laggy based on what I'm seeing. It is just the bandwidth we're getting down here, so sorry about that. I can't believe we've gone this long we haven't mentioned Nicky Minwori or Devin Witherspoon. Yeah. So let's start with Nicky Minwori. Dude, this guy, he basically did everything in this game. He almost had two field goal blocks. He ends up with one. He ends up with his interception, his first of his career. Ends up with his first full sack. He had a half a sack already. Had some tackles for loss. This guy is incredible.
There are some people who think Bijan Robinson is the best player, but ignoring positional value in the league. And to see a guy in person be as good or better of an athlete while watching Bijan Robinson live was surreal to watch. And like, we've seen Kyle Hamilton, Derwin James, and guys like that. Watching Minwori just crush guys in space, like the sack was a great hit. He had a big tackle early, but the block kicks, and then seeing the interception, he looked like a the best athlete on the field today.
When you're 6'3", 220, and you can run like that and jump like that, that's one thing. But he's not just a linear athlete. He's fluid. Yeah. Like, he is flexible and fluid and keeps things, keeps things in front of him and just can break on the ball. I mean, his ability to bend as an edge rusher or as a guy coming off for field goal blocks, like, as great as Cam Chancellor was, that wasn't the kind of athlete he was. And so everyone's like, oh, he's the next Cam or he's the next this.
No.
I think this guy is someone who's going to kind of set a new, oh, you're the next him. Yeah. I think that's what he is.
No, and like, the book on him was he was kind of a raw player. He was just a physical, like a freak athlete. Like, and that's why he didn't go drafted in the first round. And then watching this guy, like, it's crazy now watching him. He didn't go in the top 10. He is not only a freak athlete, but he's an amazing football player. And he can make plays all over the field. The way he impacted the game was insane today. Like, special teams, off defense. Kirk Cousins wasn't really sacked all game. And the sack he had him was an incredible physical feat. And the fact that Mike had such a high opinion of him, who's one of the most brilliant defensive minds in the whole league, it's so unbelievable they got him in the second round. Like, we were all kind of lukewarm other than you when they traded up for him. We didn't know if he was just like the next Obi Melifonwu. Seeing him live and just seeing his physical stature in his press conference after the game, like,
you know, the first thing he said is,
I
like,
cannot
holy
believe
shit.
How big he was.
He's
yeah.
So big. Watching him stand next to the other DBs is crazy. I actually asked Tariq Woolen about that after the game. And some locker room audio I'll post later. But here's the thing.
Let me get back in here.
If Nicky Minwori was entering this coming draft,
yeah,
would he be the number one overall pick?
I think he'd be the best. I think he'd be the best prospect. I think like there's a pretty good case he should be. I think like the quarterback. There's so many quarterback needy teams at the top. But say you're the Titans and you already have a quarterback, I don't see the better. Caleb Downs is a really good football player, but Nicky Minwori's physical profile with his football acumen. And now he's been coached up a year with Mike McDonald and all these brilliant minds they have on defense. It's pretty hard to make an argument against
him. I mean, I think independent of whether he would be in practical terms,
yeah,
he's a number one overall pick level talent. And the Seahawks got him in the second round, and they got him when other teams were passing on him. They traded up to get him. I mean, that's a huge, huge get. And then Devin Witherspoon, who's a guy that, look, it is crazy that this was his second interception of his career. A guy that we've kind of said, okay, hey, this guy, we know he's good, but where are the plays? And today, fumble recovery, tipped interception to Nicky Minwori, yeah, and then gets his own pick.
When I was at the Tennessee game a couple weeks ago in the crowd, I thought he did, and he was saying the defense didn't play well. I thought he did a lot of number of things, and I know Mike mentioned that too. But seeing him today, finally the whole thing coming together, the play on Minwori's interception that he made, he was so just casual about it after the game. He's like, yeah, it was cover two. I saw something. It was an insane play that he was coming into blitz. He read something. It was a fake blitz. And he picked off and tipped the ball in the air. That was an unbelievable. And then the other one he makes where he tips the ball into the air. Derek Hall tips it back to him. And he still makes the pick. He was like, I don't even know how I caught that. That was an unbelievable play. And like, he's such a good run defender. And he's such a good player, an energy player. And to see him finally get those counting stats. And we saw what happened when the corners were out and like how rough that looked against Tampa. I don't want to hear anyone call this guy like he's not worthy of the fifth pick. Like, this guy's such a good football player.
He's the engine. He's the engine that drives that defense. And I cannot believe that this was the first game all year that they've had their starters. The first game, dude. It's week 14. Yes? Yes, week 14. That's crazy. And to see Julian Love get back out there, Jaron Reed back out there, and I thought Julian Love, I thought there was a great play Julian Love made in the first half. There was a blitz, and I think it was Spoon that got the hit on Cousins, and the ball's deep downfield, and Julian Love does such a good job of playing the player without making contact and ending up getting a pass breakup. It was like 99.9% of DBs in that situation do what JSN said. They tense up, they freak out, and they make a mistake. Julian's such a heady player. And my only thing I was a little worried about, Jeff, is when you're coming back from a soft muscle issue, like a hamstring, to rotate in and out, I was like, hey, it's warming up, now it's cooling off. Like, yeah, is that really going to work out? But luckily it sounds like he came out okay.
And this was a really important game for the secondary because the Falcons were so concerned about the Seahawks deep defensive line. They barely ran any pure drop back.
Mm-hmm.
And all of their offense felt like just quick screens, get the ball out quick. So the defensive line, people might say, have been quiet. They didn't really get a chance to operate because of how they were so uncomfortable with just pure drop back. Even when the Seattle was up 2 or 3 touchdowns, they still didn't do it. So this was a game you needed the secondary to tackle. It was a lot of quick passes, a lot of quick throws to Kyle Pitts and Mooney and the running backs. And to have Love in there and Okada making plays, but Witherspoon and Eamon Moore, you needed those guys today because Leonard Williams and Murphy and weren't able to be part of the game plan because they just negated them with quick passes. Other teams can't do that, but that's why they only had one sack. But to put Love back in there now, who's maybe their smartest, best communicator back there, and the coach shouted out Ty Okada after the game, who was a guy I was really hard on after that Tampa game. I thought he was like a replacement-level practice squad. He's played great, and that's where they talk about that 70-man roster. But, yeah, this was a game they really needed the secondary, even though they were missing Drake London and some of the other guys they have, because Cousins just didn't want to stand there back there in the pocket. He knew he'd get crushed, and that's how I thought the game would go. They had a good game plan to attack it, and the secondary on Seattle just took over.
I thought it was a great EQ moment in the press conference when Mike McDonald said, let me take a second to shout out Ty Okada, because
that was cool.
He knows that Julian Love is going to take all of those snaps. And so is Ty. I talked to Ty in the locker room afterwards. He had nothing but great things to say about Julian Love. But to basically give him his flowers for what has been, I wouldn't say a season saving, but it's in the conversation of, if he had been as bad as we thought he might be after those first few games, this team wouldn't be 10-3. Like, he's critical to what happened. I thought that was really cool of Coach McDonald to recognize that and take a moment to do that.
Yeah, because, like, I've talked about this before. One weak link in a defense could disrupt everything you do. And we've seen it with lots of teams over the years. And Okada in that Tampa game left his zone, and him in the corners just weren't... He's played really well. You need your backups to be replacement level at the best. He's played really, really well. And so good on Mike for shouting him out. And yeah, obviously he didn't play well enough to take Julian Love's job. And I don't know if there's a level he could have got to, which would have, but very cool. I think it's going to be a big part of the season. And I just hope people like take a time to appreciate how many cool defensive moments there have been with this team. DeMarcus Lawrence, again, has a forced fumble. Yeah. Like, I was thinking about it on the plane today. Like, there's been like 5 games now. We're getting close to playoff time. And I don't want everyone just focusing on that number one seed. And he's made so many cool moments in the Arizona game and the Washington game and some of the other games earlier in the year. In the Minnesota game, he makes that play last week. Stories like that, and Okada and Drake Thomas. Like, I hope people are taking time to like realize how special this kind of season is. It doesn't happen often.
It doesn't. And the other part of this, Jeff, is you talk about Drake London being out for the Falcons. They were out without Brandon Dorlus. They're without, you know, Michael Penix Jr. Like, they're out some guys. And the final score looks like it. It looks like it. Thank fucking God, right? Like, for the first time, it feels like ever. I don't think Mike Holmgren's teams did this. I don't think Pete Carroll's teams did this, where you went into a game against an opponent that you should beat and a 10 a.m. flight, East Coast game, and slow start, and you still win by 29 points, man. Like, that's high-level stuff.
That's literally the sign of a quality team, because I was stuck on a plane for 3.5 hours with no end in sight, and I was listening to a lot of podcasts. And I heard Greg Rosenthal from NFL Network talking about something called real wins, where a lot of teams have these games where they have to like scrape out last-minute victories. And like, if you think of like the 2023 Seahawks, how many of those they needed to win on last-minute drives? The quality teams don't have a lot of games like that. And we didn't seem like the Rams needed a game like that to scrape out some games. And how many good teams in the league need to like pull something out of their ass to just win a game? Seahawks haven't had a single win like that. Like, that is insane. And they were saying New England has been a team like that this year, but they're saying Seattle's so good this year because all of their wins are what they called real wins. Like, there was no question whether they deserved to win the game or not. All 10 of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And now the Seahawks turn their attention to, we'll talk about that in a second. I want to call a couple other things. Velus Jones. I know it was garbage time. I actually talked to him in the locker room as well. Former teammate of Sam Darnold, and I think at USC. And he's got some burst, man. Like, I'm kind of like, that guy should be the third back. I saw enough in that series where I'm like, he's twitchy, he's got speed. put him in there.
Yeah, when he was running the ball at the end of the game in garbage time, me and you were like, we have to look. We're like, who is this guy again? Is that Cam Akers?
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, wait a second. That's Velus Jones. And Velus Jones is a guy who played a ton of, played a couple different colleges, and he was an older player when he got drafted. And the Bears drafted him high because of this unique skill as a returner and an explosive player. And he was kind of a, it's like a 25-year-old rookie, so our buddy Derek would absolutely hate, would have hated him. But he is an explosive guy. Like, he has, like, he's like a low-end Shaheed, and he can play running back. And when he was getting out wide, and they don't have a lot of running, like, whatever reason, Walker, when he gets out wide, it seems like he gets tackled, like, shoestring tackled every time. And yeah, like, Cam Akers has been a pretty mediocre player his whole career. And George Halani's, we don't know how long he's out, but I want to see this guy run more. He looked like a pretty explosive guy, and when he can get the edge like that, it's going to help the rest of the team.
Yeah, I love what I saw there. And, like, Cam Akers seems like a nice guy, more of like a between-the-tackles kind of runner. Yeah. And I like what Velus Jones can be, assuming George Halani's out for a while. And, yeah, I mean, I think that's probably enough on that. There's a bunch of other guys, but they have now a stretch going into the final four games of the season. They have not only the division in sight, they've got the number one overall seed, and now a game against the Colts that was looking like it was going to be a tough game, they lose Daniel Jones. So you and I literally said, what did we say before today? Like, maybe was it you and me you're talking about? But, like, actually, I think it was talking about with someone in the Seahawks organization. Sorry, so I won't put you on the spot. But basically, it sucks that the Rams game's on a Thursday night. Those are never the best games. But I was like, at least both teams have a hard game beforehand, the Colts and the Lions, so that nobody has a big advantage. No one can rest their players. Well, now, I'm not going to count it as definitely going to happen, but Riley Leonard is the quarterback for the Colts. There's a chance the Seahawks could get a big advantage going into that Rams game if they do their jobs.
Yeah, this changes the complexion of that game completely. And I can't imagine the Colts, who probably lost their quarterback for the season. They've been in a bit of a tailspin before this. They've been playing on like a fractured fibula. They go to Jacksonville and just get the doors blown off them. Now you got to fly all the way out to Seattle with a quarterback you don't probably have any faith in. Like, how do you get up for a game like that? And Seahawks have caught some breaks here. They played Max Brosmer last week. They didn't play Penix today. Now they're playing, looks like, Riley Leonard. I don't think Anthony Richardson's going to be back for next week. So, good chance. I'm conflicted. I kind of wanted to see the Seahawks play like a high-level team. When the Colts were rolling, I was kind of excited for this game. But everything just leads up to the Rams game. And if you can kind of have another win like this, get them some rest while the Rams are going and beating up themselves against the Lions, that is a big-time advantage. But, yeah, this changes a lot. Going from Riley Leonard, who's probably more of a third-string quarterback, not quite at the Brosmer level, but pretty big drop off. They got the doors blown off, and now you got to fly out to Seattle in December.
All right, last thing. What was your impression of the stadium here, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, and just like the general environment and all that kind of stuff?
So the stadium itself is unbelievable. I think they redid it a couple years ago, and it's beautiful. It's huge. It looks incredible from the outside. Everything is first class. Some of the suites in here and some of like the facilities they have. They have these lounges at the bottom that look like massive sports bars. The crowd itself was not very...
It was absent.
It was absent. So when I finally sat down and I looked around, I was like,
it looked pretty much like it looks right now.
I was like, there's a lot of red seats there, but are those Falcons fans? And then at first I was like, it's kind of quiet. No one's really cheering for anyone. And then the second half, it got really loud for the Seahawks again. And it doesn't look like there are a lot of Falcons fans here to begin with. Like, even just coming into the stadium late, there wasn't traffic coming to the game. I was pretty surprised to see that. But it's a really beautiful building. They had the SEC championship here last night for a reason. And unfortunately, the team here, there just isn't much to cheer about right now, other than Bijan Robinson and some cool players on defense.
It's a shame.
Yeah, it's kind of a like fair weather sports town in general, but.
But I mean, this is a beautiful building, man. It's a beautiful building, and it's pretty much not being occupied by a team that has got the fans excited. And I hope for the Falcons that changes. I was glad it didn't change tonight or today. But look, dude, Seahawks go to 10-3. They get a 37-9 win. You and I get to fly back to separate halves of the country. And then, man, if this keeps going the way it's going, we could have some pretty fun times ahead.
I really hope so. If we can see the second half offense and the Darnold we saw in the second half, and not the rattled version we saw in the first half who looked kind of shook. That, I think that's the difference of what this team's going to, because I think we know enough that this is a championship level defense. I think what's going to make this championship team is either can they run the ball and just manage the game, or can Darnold play like he did in the second half? Because if he does, I don't know if this team can be beat.
Yeah, my two takeaways from this game are, one, I think I talked about this week on Real Hawk Talk or one of the shows I do, who knows, but that the rookies, especially a guy like Nicky Minwori, they start at the end of the year being able to finish strong, yeah. Because it was on the
with me. It was Friday.
A Friday show, yeah, where the game's going to kind of slow down. He's had enough reps where you can just see he's making plays with anticipation that he maybe wasn't earlier. This game was so impressive from him today. He was so impressive today. For him to outshine Leonard Williams, Devin Witherspoon, yeah. Like all these guys is impressive. And my other take is back to what you said. Not only did Sam Darnold have kind of a makeup game, but he didn't start off well. The protection didn't start off well. And then we saw him in game go from really struggling to being really good. And that's important because you're going to have adversity. You're going to have halves or quarters or whatever that don't go well. For him to throw a pick, not throw to others, not fumble the ball, like that was important. It doesn't mean all the problems are behind, but it's important to see him kind of not spiral in a game, yeah. Right?
And that's what we saw in that Rams game, and that's what was so concerning. But he has a Rams game coming up on the Thursday night. I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on how he does that game. I don't know what they're going to be playing with in Week 18. I don't know if that's going to be a meaningful game. It might be but what he does in the playoffs, so much of this team, when you have that championship defense, if you can combine that with the good Darnold, this team just hits a ceiling that no one else, I don't think, in the league right now can hit. And so, look, Falcons fans must be pretty miserable right now letting Mike McDonald out of their building, who's from Georgia, and Raheem Morris kicks a field goal, fourth and two, down 17 points. And Mike McDonald's got probably the number one DVOA team, the best defense in the league, and guys from here, they let him out of the building to hire Raheem Morris. So Seahawks fans got to be feeling pretty good right now.
Man, he's ours. He's not going to be a free agent. There's not going to be a salary cap thing or a draft pick, anything that like screws that up. Mike McDonald is the Seahawks head coach for as long as we want him to be. And, brother, I hope he's the head coach for another 20 years, man.
Yeah, if we can play defense like this and the amount of young guys they got on this defense and keep building defensive linemen, it's going to be a fun era, man.
Can you believe that if he coached here for 20 years, he'd still be 20 years younger than Pete? Isn't that crazy?
I think Mike's my age, and we both had a kid the same year.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk to him.
You guys are
that.
The same.
Yeah. I'm a defensive mastermind.
That's what I've always said.
He's way more
you.
Jacked. We're the same. We're both in great shape. Great hair.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that'll do it for this post-game edition. Sorry for the bad video. Hopefully the audio was good enough. We're going to go try to get out of here, and I'll get this posted, and then we're going to go find a sports bar and hopefully watch the Cardinals do something fun if possible. Until next time, I'm Brian Nemhauser. This is Jeff Simmons. This has been another episode, can you hold this, of the Real Hawk Talk Post-Game Show.
There's some sort of punt, cast, and kick contest going on right now.